All right. Nice to see you all. It is the 5 p.m. call for our final curriculum call for our second module 10 call. It's a kimono. Thank you, Kate. Okay, so that's thrown me a little bit. I'm kind of feeling a bit like, what, how are we here already? So if you are feeling like that as well, then you're so not alone. And I just really want to start by totally reassuring you that even though we're reaching the end of our curriculum, the learning part of the Self-Belief Coaching Academy, this is far from over, right? It's basically, you can remain as connected to me and to this work for as long as you wish. So one of the things I've always found when I've done any kind of coach training and learning is that you kind of get to the end and you start making sense of the whole thing. And then the teachers go, bye, good luck. And you're like, wait, I have questions. So if you have found that, then what I'm attempting to do here is offer some relief for that and try to address that in a way that feels good and boundaried for me, like not kind of trying to rescue or take care of everybody and overwork, but also to offer like a realistic level of support for you, depending on, you know, what your needs are. So we're going to talk about this much more in next week's call when we talk about certification and the process of becoming a coach match coach, if you want to do that, where I can hook you up with potential clients. We'll talk about that whole process in a bit more detail next week. But I just want you to know that you are going to be as fully supported as you need. There are different kinds of support that's going to be available to you. But at the moment, we have a monthly call that is on the last Thursday of the month. We'll give you all these details that we always record. At the moment, it's at this time. So it will suit most people, although folks in the Southern Hemisphere get a little bit of a raw deal. But we'll probably address that as the Academy grows. So so just know that whatever you're feeling about getting to the end of our curriculum, you're going to be really well supported in how we kind of take this work forward. All right. So, I'm very jealous, Brynhild. You're going to be swimming with dolphins later today. What an amazing way to celebrate. Okay, so let's talk about what we're going to talk about. Module 10 is all about coaching with the client's goals and dreams. So in this call, we're just going to revisit the aims of this module. We're going to check in with you around how you got on with attempting to put together your courage-based plan, what that's looked and felt like for you. We've had some fascinating conversations over the last couple of calls today around that. We're going to talk a little bit about this concept of a change cycle, about how humans change their behavior and what we can learn from that in terms of how to show up as a coach. And I'm just going to throw the doors open for your questions. So if there are things that you would like me to speak about or you want some clarification on or anything like that, we'll have time to look at that as well. Now, we may not get to all of your questions, but anything that we don't address tonight, we can look at either next week or in the discussion forum over email. Okay. So one of the things that we are looking at in this module is a principle that in order to do anything that involves achieving a goal or bringing a dream to life, there's no ideal or right or linear process to do that. And this releases us from judgment, criticism, internal criticism, and a ton of exacerbated psychological risk. It relieves us and our clients from those things. It means that we start the process of bringing a goal to life from the place of accepting that setbacks and challenges and self-doubt are inevitably going to arise, that nothing's gone wrong when that happens, and that the real magic in all of this is actually about how our clients feel resourced when those things occur. It means that the idea of quitting or failure kind of goes away, right? Because all you're doing all the time is readjusting. What do I need to do differently? How do I need to show up to this? What am I learning about who I am and what I need to support myself? It means that our we start to get to know what are the conditions we need for success. And it also has this kind of meta purpose that achieving the goal is really a means for the expansion of our self-concept. So it doesn't really matter what the goal is, what the dream is. It's not even about achieving those things. It's how we grow who we become along the way. So we become a person who can write a book, who can keep promises to themselves, who can show up to the gym every day or 5 days a week or whatever that feels like to you. It means that you become the person who is going to risk whatever it means to be visible in your business to reach your prospective clients. And you just keep proving that to yourself over and again through taking courage-based steps, courage-based action. So you're not trying to completely dysregulate yourself and get into a place where it's white-knuckling through, but you're taking action based on how much courage you feel. It means that you start to see who you want to be at the end of achieving that goal is who you can be along the way. So if you want to feel really comfortable being on video on social media, for example, you start to feel comfortable being on video on social media before you achieve the goal of being the person who does that, right? It becomes a more natural a more natural evolution of who you are because you take all the steps to get there. Right? The person who can quit smoking. I love that. Bernhard, it sounds like you've had a good week with that. So all of this approach is based on, you know, the goal becomes the vehicle. It means that we as the coach don't really care what our clients' goals are. We're not that invested in them even achieving them, right? Because what if they have these insights and revelations along the way that help them to decide who they're going to be? Then actually the goal becomes something that they can own very quickly and very easily, right? And we start to see that it doesn't actually matter what the circumstances are. It matters. So the circumstances rather aren't as important as what we believe about them. Yeah, what we believe about ourselves. Are you all seeing my screen? Is that still working? Sorry, it usually has a green line around it. Okay. So we've got this three-part sort of approach of a courage-based goal, which is taking into account the aspects of the protector and the healthy self, right? The opinions of those two parts of ourselves and other parts as needed. And we're also looking at why this matters to the client, but also like what's at stake? Because there will be things that may change as a result of them achieving their goal, but there'll be things that are constant, right? So it's about keeping the goal or the dream in perspective, being the realist, right? Because what we tend to do as humans is say, when all these conditions outside of us, when the context changes, then I'll be different, right? And we're coming from the place of, when you are different, when you believe different things are possible for you, your outside circumstances and context will change. Make sense? So it's all about getting to a place where you can create a plan that reflects what you are going to do and what you're prepared to do, and it's supporting you to take action. in a way that reflects your humanity and the fact that we don't do things in a straight line, and depending on our other responsibilities and how we're feeling on any given day, that will determine what we are able to do, the action we're able to take. So I just want to check in with folks around your homework, around actually creating a plan for yourself. Did anyone get to a place where you think, actually, I'm already starting to take action, I'm kind of there? Anyone get to that place? Yeah. Does anyone want to just share anything that came up for them, what you're learning, how you found this approach? Oh, Steph.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it was really interesting. In our practice pod, there were just two of us, and we decided to do it together, kind of like separately, but together on the call, just like start doing the circles, start filling things in. And there, even in that, and I don't think either one of us really resist goal setting. Like I personally really like it. And it was just like a shit show. We were so distracted and so like, it was like, oh, I ran out of post-its. Well, or like, I didn't draw my circles. There's so much random resistance things that just showed up. We would go on these rants. And it was like, oh my gosh, like, how are we resisting this so hard? And it was so fun to just notice it, or like the software wasn't working or something. And it was just really funny to notice all of that.
So where did you get to in terms of making sense of your resistance?
Did we get anywhere? I'm not even sure. I think.
I like since then, I think the thing I'm struggling, I'm the other person in case. Yeah, that wasn't obvious. But I think the thing I'm finding that I'm struggling with now, and we talked about this briefly, was prioritizing. And it's not always obvious, like, what's a priority. And so the way we were talking about in last week in this group was like, do the easy things first. But if I want to do these three things to market my business, figuring out where, you know, I don't have time to do all three. And the easy thing isn't necessarily like time-wise the right thing to prioritize. So I think there was some of that. And I think Stephanie was, I think we were both kind of getting a little tripped up in that.
Right.
I know I have been since.
Cool. So that, it's interesting, isn't it? Because then it's like our protectors go, well, if I don't follow this perfectly, it's not going to work, right? Mm-hmm. So what were the three things that you came up with? Do you remember?
That I want to do to market my business?
Yeah.
One is do a webinar,
yeah.
Free webinar, you know, the usual. One is reach out to people to pitch myself to be on their podcasts.
Yeah.
Actually, it's probably those two are the,
okay.
And then, stuff I've been doing, but.
Yeah. So you could, I wonder how you feel about both of those tasks.
I feel like on the surface of it, I know what I've broken. Like, I know the individual steps. Like, the first thing is I need to do this, second, third, fourth. And I feel good about public speaking, and I feel good about this as a way to get leads, mm-hmm. But I haven't done it.
Why not?
Well, yeah, we were talking about this too. Time. Time and energy and focus. And I have a schedule that theoretically should allow me to have specific days when I focus on my business and certain days that I have a part-time job. Yeah. And somehow the days when I'm focusing on my business I just don't get as much done as I think I'm going to, I guess. That's the day, because I have more flexibility than I do on my job days. That's the day where it's like, oh, I'll wash the dishes now. You know,
but that's called procrastinating.
That's called procrastinating. Yeah, exactly. And I think, and we were, this is something we were talking about too, is like the reason we, one of the reasons we have our own businesses is to have that freedom and that flexibility in our schedule. But it's sort of, from, I can say for me at least, like it's also, it's biting, and yes, definitely, like it's biting me in the ass a little bit. And I thought maybe it's time to like think about this in a different way.
Well, this is what I've heard you say, right? I've got some ideas about how I want to market my business. I feel quite good about them. I'm happy to do public speaking. I feel quite good about reaching out to people. But instead of doing any of that, I don't have enough time because I've got dishes to do.
Yeah. Or I mean, and doing like, so I'll do some business, like I'll, you know, create some posts and like do some actual coaching. Yeah,
Jamie is a content creator.
That's easy.
So this is the thing to just notice, right? What you're describing is classic resistance. So the first job is to figure out where is the resistance coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be that before you can even start to action this plan, you need to think about what are the, you know, you've come across resistance right at the start, right? So you can either break this plan down into really doable steps that you don't feel resistance towards, right? Or in parallel, you look at the beliefs that you have about doing this piece of work. Because I suspect that you're not real, I mean, it sounds like a really noble reason, right? I became self-employed so I could have all this freedom, and I want to spend that doing dishes and avoiding this thing, right? Like that sounds great, but I'm not buying it, mm-hmm. right? I think there's something in this particular task that there's some resistance to this because it feels risky in some way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think
one of the first steps, I think, for both of those things is to like identify a topic.
Yeah.
That should be fun. That seems like something that should be fun and that I could sit down and do in like half an hour.
Yeah.
But perhaps the resistance is, will I pick the right topic? Because my whole thing is always, as other people here have said, is like doing it the right way.
Right.
So like, oh, what if I pick the wrong topic?
Yeah. Well, and so what's the way through that?
I know that I will pick a good topic. I like ration, you know, up in the conscious.
What if you don't? What if you pick a shit topic and no one comes?
Yeah. And I will do it again with a different topic.
Right. And this is the thing is like at the moment, I suspect, and just tell me where I'm wrong, that the main risk you've got here is about avoiding disappointment.
Yes, but also interestingly, I'm also worried about getting sucked into picking the topic that monetarily makes the most sense, but I'm not as excited about, and then that being successful and getting sucked in a direction that I don't really want to go.
You're right in your head. So I want to get this on the board so you can actually see what's going on here, because there's so much rationalizing going on from your protector. I'm afraid we might just all disappear in that vortex. Okay. So the context is the webinar, right? Webinar plan.
Mm-hmm.
Prep. What's the main belief that you have when you think about prepping that webinar? Like, what are you doing before you walk away and go do the dishes?
I don't know what topic to choose.
How does that make you feel?
Self-judgmental.
Yeah. It's kind of flat, isn't it? It's like, yeah, mm-hmm. like almost kind of defeated before you start sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so when you feel like that, like what do you do or say?
Well, I'll just write an Instagram post instead.
Right. So it's kind of like diversion tactics, right? Mm-hmm. Like Steve said, you're the content creator. So you've got an Insta post, you've got...
or an email or whatever. Yeah.
The dishes, an email. Yeah. And so what's the outcome of doing all those things?
My audience doesn't grow, or to put it in the positive, my audience stays the same. And yeah, the number of clients I have stays the same.
Me, my business, my audience stays the same. So what is the safety in that? Like, what's the thing the risk that helps you avoid?
Picking the quote unquote wrong topic.
Yeah. And what's the risk with that?
Going in a direction with my business that I don't really want to go, but feel like I should or have to, or am I worried about like no one showing up? I don't know. I don't really.
What are the consequences of picking the wrong topic?
Just dissatisfaction.
Yeah. So you get the satisfaction. How are you feeling right now as you're just going through this? Is it close to dissatisfaction?
Yeah, I was going to say, I see now the thing where the thing I'm afraid of is the thing that still is that I'm actually making happen now. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right, like you don't need to worry about trying to avoid this because you're sitting in it.
Yeah.
You have an endless capacity to be with this.
Right.
It's not a risk for you. It's reality right now.
Right. Yep.
Which is uncomfortable, right? It's like, don't want to be there. Don't want to be there. So you've chosen to do a webinar. How do you want to feel about doing that webinar?
Excited.
Yeah. So what belief would help you feel excitement?
I actually really like public speaking, and it would be super fun to just get up there and talk for a while.
Yeah.
Regardless of how many people are listening or what it's about. Right. Well, not regardless of what it's about, but pick a topic I'm excited about. And
yeah. You could start, because this whole purpose of this, right, is to engage with your audience.
Mm-hmm.
You can get them to vote and pick a topic with you.
That's true.
Right. I'm thinking about doing a thing for you guys. Here's three topics I've come up with, and maybe in brackets, this is what I think it will help you with. Which one appeals? And then you can share, coming soon. Set a date. Let your audience help you. And then everyone who voted, you can let them know, because you'll have a record of it. Hey, that topic you wanted me to talk about, I'm doing it.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Right. Do that. Like, it's about engagement. It's about like your audience. You're just showing up for them. So let them help you.
Right.
So that thought of, I'm excited to engage with my audience. Right? Does that help you start to see, I could do this differently?
Yeah.
How excited are you about doing the dishes and being free to do the dishes? I right? know. This is what I became self-employed for, right?
It's too hot to do any of the fun things anyway, so.
I know. Yeah.
I hope I didn't totally hijack Stephanie's thing there, by the way. I hope that was helpful.
Yeah. Well, but this is the thing to really sit with, guys, is that sometimes some of the work needs to go on. If you're feeling that resistance straight away, some of the work that will need to happen is to look at, well, what are you believing about what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it doesn't actually matter then what you do if you don't believe it's going to be fun or something you want to do. It's only a matter of time before you decide, nah, And then what can happen is we go, oh, I've got another shiny object that I'm interested in. I'm going to go do that, right? So, and this is the thing. It's not really about the webinar. It's about how do I want to show up and engage with my audience? And the webinar is just a vehicle for that. Who do I become? What do I believe? How do I, what's my energy like? What's my presence like when I'm interested in engaging with my audience?
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes it sound more fun. Like that's what a great opportunity to like develop my voice further.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fantastic example. Like, and as a coach, I really want you guys to get excited about clients who go, I didn't do my plan. Because this is when you have the opportunity to go, something went wrong. Fantastic. This is juicy. Now we get to look at something that I can help you with, right? What are you thinking about what's going on, right? And this can be the shift that it takes to really start to take action. That is courage based because you're kind of aligned with what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I'm so like amped and kind of pushing for everyone to do this exercise, right? Because as soon as Stephanie said it was a shit show, I was like, yes, this is brilliant, right? Because that's exactly what it's like for our clients as well. And that's the point. But notice how as soon as you go, oh, this is what went wrong, and we start pulling it apart and exploring it, you get another way forward. So quitting is a choice. It never has to be the option. You get to be with this and move through it and find another way. And then what's happening is your self-concept starts to grow into, I'm a person who can figure this out. I don't just quit when it gets a bit hard or I feel confused or I'm not sure. I'm someone who can figure this out, which is an amazing skill to have as a business owner, right? Something that you'll probably need along the way. So next time around you do this kind of thing, you have another plan, your next plan. When you come across resistance, you're like, huh, I know how to look at that. And so that resourcefulness just kicks in a little sooner. Fantastic example.
It was super helpful because I'm so gullible when it comes to clients. Like I'm trying to break that pattern of believing them. And just when you just said like, well, I'm not buying that. Let's look at it. That was really helpful.
Yeah. Like it's when that seems legit, right? It's like, the temptation to collude with the protector's beliefs is really high. And it's like, that doesn't feel good in my belly. Like I'm not buying that. So just being able to offer that to a client can be really, really great. And look, the thing is, Jamie, your example is just pitch perfect because Catherine's already said this is resonating, but I bet there is a few folks here. Certainly I totally relate to this feeling of like, oh, it's just too hard, god damn it. And so we just go, nah, I'm out. So perfect example. Okay, Kate Bacon, do you want to just share where you're at? You've got your hand up.
Yeah, it was kind of, I noticed something today. So I had all these reasons why I didn't do my plan. They seem quite legitimate, right? Like I was on holiday last week. Hello, I wanted to rest. And then when I came back, the plan was, yes, do it all yesterday. And I was so exhausted. And I'm like, is this my protector coming up or am I just like really exhausted? And I'm like, I'm really exhausted. And then I got coached this morning and something had come up because I was also trying to buy a flat. So legitimate life, busyness, craziness, developing my business. And my goal was I want to generate £50,000 worth of income in my coaching business starting from zero in the next year. And then the house buying thing came in and then I'm like, oh my God, is that what's hijacking me? But yeah. I got coached on that this morning because that was like really front and center in my practice pod. And It was super helpful because I came to the conclusion that this was not the right time to do this. The mortgage offer hadn't happened, and I don't want to sell my current flat because I want to keep it as an investment property. So I'm like, great, now I have no excuse not to develop my business.
So I just want to, this is such a great thing to raise, Kate, because this kind of question or related question came up this morning as well, is how do I know when it's my protector and how do I know when it's my healthy self saying, maybe not right now? And it's like a really healthy and legitimate sort of critical thinking type approach. And the general rule that I have around this, and of course, you know that I'm not really one for rules, so it kind of depends on the context. But generally speaking, if it's your protector is going to find reasons not to do something. And your healthy self is going to find solutions. Right, so your healthy self is probably going to add tasks to your plan, i.e., we need to figure this out in a new way, right? So it sounds like, Kate, your healthy self is saying that this life is just too much right now. It doesn't make sense to start this today or to try and get it in on an arbitrary date. So, you know, you're starting to look at doing this, I imagine, in the coming weeks. So this is the thing to just notice. When it's your protector, they're going to find something to say, don't do this, hold yourself back. And the reason that they'll give, that the protector will give, will usually feel a little dodgy. It won't really have much evidence in fact, right? Whereas your healthy self is probably going to say, what's the solution to this? And it may require more effort at a later date or a different approach or something like that. The other way that you can kind of tell, is it my protector or is it my healthy self when the reasoning seems legit, is you really like your reason or pausing or stopping. Right, so you'll be able to tell if your reason is a little sort of out of alignment or an excuse or something that is like amorphous resistance of some kind that I haven't really looked at too closely because it feels icky. Right? So you're kind of tuning into that as you go. And this is a really good thing to become aware of, is how do I know, you personally, how do you know whether it's legitimate, like it's now's not the right time, versus your protector holding you back. Getting to know that, developing a kind of relationship with that, is really going to help you because you're engaging your critical thinking around this. It's the kind of self-trust thing. Do I still trust myself to figure this out or to do this in a way that feels good to me? Yeah. So thanks for raising that, Kate. That's very cool. Okay, so one of the things I just want to talk about before we sort of throw open to general questions is the Prochaska and De Clemente's model of change. I just wanted to use this as a way of you starting to think about how to structure your one-to-one coaching sessions. Now, for some of you, you'll be like, don't really need a structure. I'm just going to fly by the seat of my client's pants. Whatever they bring, we'll address. It's all good. And that's perfect, right? You can just kind of decide what tools you're going to use, what approaches you're going to use, what might best help the client, and you'll figure that out if you already have a process for kind of checking in before a session so you can prepare and that feels comfortable to you, then carry on. If, however, you're thinking, I would quite like to do a group program, or I'd quite like to bring in some more structure to the work that I do one-to-one, then this is a great model just to use as a kind of reference point. So this was developed in the early 80s. It's quite old, It's horrifically old when you actually count back decades. If you're anything like me, you're like, what? Apparently 1939 was as close to 1980 as we are now. And I'm like, there's no. So anyway, it's quite old. However, this has deep research and evidence basis in a lot of health and social care settings where people are changing like quite serious behaviors, things like addiction. It's used in a lot of social work settings that they'll talk about Prochaska's cycle of change. So the reason I quite like it is that it's very inclusive. It's kind of agnostic to what the behavior is that we're wanting to change. I know some of the language is a little clunky in 1980s, but I think it's very helpful just as a way to think about how do we show up as coaches for our clients. So it's six stages, and we kind of keep moving around this cycle. So every time we sort of learn a new thing, or in our language, our self-concept starts to expand, we sort of go around it again. If we're doing something in a different area of our lives, we might go around this again. So these first three circles of pre-contemplation, contemplation, and preparation are helpful to just think about, because at this point, it's before our clients are working with us, right? So in the pre-contemplation and contemplation phases, they're just becoming aware that there is a problem, that there is some kind of challenge, some area of dissatisfaction in their lives that they want to address. In pre-contemplation, they're like, no problem, no worries. In contemplation, I'm aware of something that isn't okay. And I'm curious about that, but I'm not prepared to do anything about it yet. We want to be showing up for our prospective clients, right? So think about this as a sort of awareness building type approach. How do we let the folks that are in this stage know that there is a way through the challenge or problem they're facing, that we can help them, that there is this thing in the world called coaching, which I know is kind of mad to think about, but I actually met someone on Sunday who didn't know what coaching was. There are people like this in the world, right? And we have to keep reminding ourselves that we can get into the bubble, right, of talking therapies and believe that everyone knows about this. But actually there are a lot of people that don't, and many more people that don't know about your specific flavor of this work and how you help people. So getting comfortable with, you know, sharing how you help, sharing your thoughts and ideas, what you do, what you believe is possible for your clients, what you want them to know about themselves. Sharing info is a way of kind of educating the client so they can see when they are ready, when and if they become ready to take action, they think of you. And I know that there is a tendency to also think, well, there's a billion people on social media and there are squillions of websites in the world. I've been on the internet writing and oversharing in some form or another since 2005. So I kind of watched the internet grow up, and it is still a quite small place. Like, it is kind of, you do come across the same people. You do sort of see people's evolution. There isn't, please don't get like caught up in the idea that I'll disappear, that even if I show up or go all in, it won't matter. Right? Like, you actually showing up either on social media or in your newsletter, having conversations with actual humans, in whatever way you choose to publicize your work, webinars, fantastic idea, going on people's podcasts, what are the single best sources of growth for me, Jamie? I think it's a great idea. So all of these ways that we kind of raise awareness about our work, what we're really doing is saying, hey, person over there who's a bit stuck, I can help. Do you want to have a chat about it? Right? It's like, if you tell people you're a coach and make offers to help them, like, that's the thing to be doing, because it means that even if you are talking to someone who this isn't relevant for, their sister, their neighbor, their mate, whoever, they're going to think, oh, I know that Kate woman. She does that. I'll find her. I follow her on Instagram, right? And then it is a way of generating interest. I think this is why it's really helpful for us to be consistent, to share a coherent kind of message, to just keep showing up, right? We do that for our clients so that we start to build sustainability in our practices. Now, once someone gets to the point of being curious about coaching in this preparation stage, you know, this is where we want to always sort of support folks to have spaces that they can work with you, right? Sharing information on social media, the same message sometimes, time and again, you know, I have three places left till Christmas. If you want to work with me, I'd be so happy to chat to you, right? In whatever way that feels good to you, keep sharing those messages. Keep letting people know that you are available and demonstrate the value in whatever way that comes up for you. When you are working with the other three stages in Prochaska's change model, you're working with clients. And I found it quite helpful to think about these three stages in terms of the academy process, right, that we've all been through over the last 6 months. So moving from preparation to action is really, you know, modules 4 and 5 and maybe a bit of 6, where we're helping our clients to understand their protective beliefs, that they have this thing called a protector that shows up as self-doubt, making some meaning around what's happened to them, the life map, you know, exploring where they've come from and why they're being held back in the way that they are. So all of that sort of the reason to take action to address the problem, it's like we need to really understand what their specific flavor of this challenge actually is, right? And then moving them into action, helping them to set experiments, put a plan in place and take some courage-based action. Right. Anything that involves them figuring out where they're meeting their protective beliefs and kind of busting those and figuring out what the next step is. How do they move into a place where they're starting to listen to their healthy self and those healthy self resources? Knowing that at some point, you know, the voice that they start to listen to is going to be the healthy self rather than the protector. They start to build that relationship with these two parts. And at some point, they're probably going to relapse, right? They're going to go back to an old behavior or they're going to do something that they didn't want to do. They may end coaching before this happens, or it may happen within coaching. This is a great way to kind of move up the cycle, right? To do exactly what we've done today. Look at where the relapse is or where the behavior that's just a bit unwanted or unsatisfactory, and use that as a way to help the client know themselves a little more so that as they move into preparing to take some more action, they're in a different place. They're feeling more resourced. So in the module workbook, I'm sharing with you the sort of way that I like to, or the way that I'm suggesting we sort of stagger out the approach to setting up a structured coaching relationship. So if that feels good to you, please go ahead and use that. And, you know, don't worry too much about sticking to it either. Like, it's not a rule or a general rule of thumb in any way. It's more of a sort of suggestion. If you're looking for some structure and direction, then this model can really help. Okay. Alrighty. So, who has questions about anything to do with today or anything else? Okay, so Steph and Melissa and Sal. Great. Okay. If you push on the little reactions thing down the bottom, you can raise your hand. If you do that, and I'll go through folks, it brings you up in order. So that's great. Okay, so Steph, let's start with you.
Well, just on what you were just saying, I think I've been noticing my clients are like skipping the preparation phase. Like, they're coming to me in the action phase. And so before this call, that was going to be my question anyways, about just, I'm not sure, they're already like so deep in the action phase when they hire me. I'm a business coach primarily, that it feels weird to bring them back to those preparation things. I'm just having trouble navigating that. It's like, I'm almost, I know that slowing them down can be really helpful, of course, but also it feels weird to bring them back. I don't know if I'm making sense, but.
You so are. So I guess what I would offer is, they're coming to you for a reason. So something isn't working, right? So I would start with that. What is the thing that they want coaching on, and what are their beliefs around that? Right. And then you start to, hang on, I'm just going to grab my wipey. One of the, sorry. So one of the things I always sort of approach like business coaching with is this, and I went into this in a bit more detail with Kate in the 11 o'clock call today. Oops, self-belief, goals, strategy. So just thinking about like the pillars of business coaching and how that kind of relates to self-belief coaching. It's like the goals are sort of like the what and the when, right? And the strategy is a bit more about the why and the how, I guess, or something like that. It's more of the like purpose that the business serves. It doesn't really matter what the client is doing in terms of bringing their strategy to life. If their self-belief is out of whack, like if what they believe about their business is not healthy, then none of this is going to help them to grow as a human. So if that's why they would seek out a self-belief coach who is a business coach, right? Because they're wanting to change how they believe about their business. So I would be looking at, and this is the thing, Steph, you may find that you never have to do a life map with a business coaching client, right? It may not be relevant to them. But actually looking at what are they doing or not doing that doesn't feel good, and what do they believe about it, is a great way in. Because then they get to see that it doesn't really matter what stage of business they're at, there is always going to be protective beliefs that show up. And I do think like business coaching is such a juicy way to bring self-belief coaching in, because running a business tends to be a full house of risk.
Yeah, so I totally agree. And I guess it's just about me not trying to help them with everything that's presenting. It's like, okay, I realize you're trying to make these 8 decisions and you have this factor and that factor. In this session, let's slow down and look at this belief. And then probably by helping, I'm kind of just talking out loud, probably with helping them with that belief, it will help them with all those other things that are showing up.
Yeah. I mean, it may be that they say, I've got to make 8 decisions right now. But, and it's, you could go for what's the decision that you have the most kind of ickiness around, the one that you're finding the hardest. How are you feeling about it? Mm-hmm. Where's the resistance for you? Why haven't you made that decision yet? Right. And so you're just probing around the edges to try and find a way in. And then you can start to look at what is the impact of them not making this decision? What's the belief that's underneath it?
Yeah, I like that. This triangle, did we learn that somewhere already? Or is this something?
No, I just drew it today when I was talking.
I really like it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's a great way of kind of demonstrating to business clients. And I talked about this with Kate today. It's like, I think it's almost like a bait and switch. Like business clients are going to come for this, right? Because that's what we all think matters. And this is the thing that they actually need. This is what they want, but this is what they need.
Yeah,
right? Because it doesn't actually matter what they're doing. If they don't believe that it's possible, you know, they're going to be with Jamie in the kitchen washing dishes all day. Right?
Someone can come wash my dishes. That'd be great. I have too much to do to wash dishes. But I know this is, and I've always said that too, like I would just be a mindset coach, but I feel like they need, we need something for them to come in for. And business is the gateway, right? And of course, what we do with them in business is going to help with the rest of their life. And I just like business, so it's cool. But
and also, you know, the thing is, business owners already know that what they believe about their business is probably what's getting in the way. It's just that it feels really uncomfortable because they're not really sure why feelings have to be discussed, right? Or why we have to look at this self-belief shit when all I want is a good plan. If I have the right plan, then everything will be all right.
I used to sell marketing plans, so that was this is a good pivot. Thank you, that's really, really helpful.
Nice. You're so welcome, Steph. Thank you. Kate Bacon, back to you.
Okay, so I'm just wondering how much time or how much you can get through with clients in coaching. So I'm working with 3 practice clients at the moment, and I approached all of them myself. So it wasn't like that they came to me with a specific thing, but they all had something juicy to bring. So that was fabulous. And one of them, I'm doing session 5 this evening. And last time we worked on mapping protective belief. And I'm like, shit, I'm doing 6 sessions with her. Are we even going to ever get to the healthy stuff?
Right, right. Yeah.
So it feels like there's so much. So on the kind of diagram, I feel like we're almost in the preparation, just beginning to get into action phase.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but she's had 4 sessions. So if I'm going to be offering 6 sessions to clients, how far am I going to get with them? And I feel that she's kind of quite self-aware as well, because she's done lots of therapy. And so stuff, you know, she was uncovering her risk quite easily. And so, yeah, just curious about how far we can get with clients.
It's such a great question. So here's my thing. You can find that some clients you'll do a 2-hour session with and you'll never hear from them again, and they'll achieve the thing that they came for. And for other clients, they need 10 sessions. You might find actually you really like the spaciousness of 10 sessions. So there's no rules. I'd be really interested in you self-reflecting on where you might be tangled up in rescuing this client. Where do you think she should be by now? Right? Because I've been around that circle, that spiral, about 86 times, and I'm still a work in progress. But I'm all right.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. Great question, Kate. Melissa. Hello.
I partly forgot my question, but it'll come back. And I'm wondering if I'm one of the clients that sent you around the spiral about where I should be by now, because I feel like I am.
Well, you're exactly where you are, right?
I know. I know. Yeah. And that's my self-belief. I'm where I am. One thing what I wanted was a gold star, because I did that.
Amazing.
I want a gold star. That's what I wanted.
Totally. Hang on. I think I can give you one. Yeah.
And what I realized in that, though, things that I put as easy, like drinking 8 glasses of water a day, I didn't do it. So it's not as easy as I thought I was going to be. So I kind of moved it out.
On things like that, I think that's a great thing to recognize. I don't know if you've read James Clear's book, Atomic Habits.
Yeah.
I haven't actually read it. I just listened to
it. I haven't read it either. I've heard about it a lot.
I kind of can't bear him, but I did like the concept. Sorry. Some people you just gel with, some you don't. But one of the things I really love is the idea of a 1% upgrade. So what you may want to do is go, okay, I'm just going to move. Like if I'm drinking, I want to drink 8 glasses of water a day. Perfect. So today, yesterday I drank 2. So today I'm going to drink 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you kind of build yourself up. Like, how can I just do this better than yesterday? It's a much more doable upgrade than kind of going, oh, I should be.
So then it doesn't have to be easy. Or many of the actions that I took, my goal was to practice healthy ways of living and working while being open to expansion during my 6 month sabbatical, right? I don't know what I'm going to be doing at the end. I want to be open, but I want to practice living in a healthy way.
I agree.
But what you're saying is that also some of the actions might be a scale, right?
Yeah. It's like for anyone, and you know, you think about extrapolating this out, for anyone who wants to sign two clients every 2 weeks or a client a week for the next 10 weeks, right? It's like that kind of goal. Well, how many did you sign last week, right? So maybe you just want to sign one this month, right? And then you move up. So it just think about, like, how do you want to do this in a way that just feels good and doable, right? And I love this insight that you're having, Melissa, just in noticing the thing that I actually thought was going to be super easy turns out not so much.
Yeah.
Nothing's gone wrong. I just miscalculated.
And similarly, writing a LinkedIn post, I want to do it efficiently. It can take me half a day because I've researched everything to work out my thoughts. And so I can get frustrated with myself, or I can say part of your process is researching and learning before you can condense it into writing.
Right.
So kind of that's part.
And what if you just said to write a LinkedIn post, it takes me half a day? So instead of putting myself under pressure and saying I'm going to write four a week, maybe I'm going to do four a month or two a month.
Or rather saying it should only take me 30 minutes and it took me half a day.
Yeah. Well, because now you know.
My style of writing needs to be, and there's a bit of perfectionism, but it was like I want to have something meaningful to say, so I had to research to understand what I wanted to say first before I could write. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think this is the thing. So build that in. Actually, it takes me half a day. I just didn't know that because I hadn't done it before.
Okay.
I make an assumption because usually I'm comparing, if it's me,
everybody
I'm comparing
else.
Myself to someone else and going, I bet they do that in 10 minutes. And then it takes me 4 hours and I'm like, what's wrong with me, right? I have no idea how long it takes the other person.
Thank you. And one very quick question building on Kate's in terms of how much do you get through with clients? Because I've had the similar, what's the timeline? I'm coaching 5 clients at the moment. Simply because I put a note saying I'm studying self-belief coaching. So that was amazing. I'm coaching tonight, and she sent a note saying we're halfway through, we're at 4 on all of them. What would you like coaching on? Well, I feel great. I just can't wait to see you. And maybe I want to talk about your weekend because I just feel so great. And so I read, you want to talk about my weekend?
Yeah.
Because she feels super great. And there's some self-belief there, so there's a lot of she feels good, but where do you then say, okay, so what are you avoiding? I mean,
actually,
just celebrate.
And you could do a couple of things. Like, this is a great question, Melissa, and also congratulations. That's no accident, right? That she's like, I'm feeling great.
Well, I think she calls me a fairy and you're so kind. I think, okay, is this a proper coach relationship?
But fine. Just take it. It's all good, right? You don't have to worry. She's just projecting her love onto you and it's all good, right? Just let it bounce off. So a couple of things you might want to try is say, oh, it was so nice to hear you this morning that you were feeling really good. Is that still true, right? So we want to check in because who knows what could have happened, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, what? Let's name that feeling. Like, what is that like? And you can actually do the emotional experience circle, like that process of feeling into the emotion, really playing with that and letting her, you know, kind of own that this is what contentment, joy, satisfaction, etc. feels like. The other thing you could do is kind of go, hey, let's look at the compass, like what has led to you feeling like this, right? And so you're kind of then letting her tell you about her week and you're mentally kind of noting what is the self-acceptance, self-trust, self-worth, self-belief.
Yeah.
Right. And then just mirroring that back to her. Oh, wow. It sounds like you made a really good decision there. So what does that tell you about your emerging self-trust?
Yeah.
And you get to just wallow in that with her. It's, you know, sometimes coaching sessions go like that and it's like so rare. Nothing's literally gone wrong, but we always go, well, this has to be a lie, right?
Her overall goal was to emancipate herself. I feel good about myself. I'm emancipated.
Well, and that's the thing to really tie it back to is why did she come to coaching? Where does she feel she is in terms of, you know, how much progress she's made? And, you know, even really get really simple here. Like you could say, when you came to coaching and you imagined like feeling 100% emancipated, what did you think that felt like or looked like, or what would you be doing? And then, so where do you think you are now percentage wise, and what would get you over, you know, from good to great? What do you feel like you may be holding yourself back from that you're sort of feeling ready for now? But anything you can do to just expand that good feeling, help her really own it and settle into it, trust that it's not going to go anywhere if she just stays there. Amazing. Nice work. Okay. Anyone else got anything they just want to add or share or ask about? Yeah,
so. In the email you sent about today's class, you mentioned about doing this work with groups, which I hadn't really, I'd thought the training, you know, how often trainings are just to do this one-on-one.
Yeah.
Then there might be something that comes next.
Yeah.
So just thoughts on that.
Yeah. What are you thinking about?
Well, I have this story, and this also ties into the how long does this take, because 10 sessions, I suppose because my clients are older, like myself, and have therefore mastered, they've had decades to master their, you know, their protector is quite old.
Yeah.
So possibly more entrenched, but that could be a story. So there's two pieces to that. One, I could imagine this going on for months or a year, long relationship.
Yeah.
And in terms of valuing, in terms of some of my financial goals, they would be hard to achieve only doing one-to-one clients.
Yeah.
But I have this story that this kind of transformational work is hard to do without some one-to-one component, although this experience of the training is, you know, kind of chipped away at that quite significantly, but I still kind of believe it to be true to some extent. So so trying to figure out, would you tell, and I think that's why you talking about the how to structure it with the so that you could take them through the arc, almost force the arc, not force it, but structure.
So a couple of things I would just offer about working with groups. One is that groups that don't have any structure tend to, and the structure doesn't have to be about taking them through a process, right? It could be just that the structure is we meet, we write, we share our writing, we go home, right? Like it's more about having a structure, a ritual that everyone kind of can feel safe in because they know what to expect.
Yeah,
is more the approach I would take. So groups, I think, need structure, and they may need different options just to suit different individuals. So it may be that you could structure a group approach that would be that would have the option for people who wanted a one-on-one component, they could buy that as a kind of top-up, right? But I think that there is both truth and lies in the idea that group coaching isn't really coaching. So the truth of that is that if the group is too big, and that really is about the energetic presence of the coach. So if you're super comfortable with 30 people at a time, then that might be absolutely fine. I know for me, in person, around about 25 people, 30 people is probably my limit. And that means that I'm there all day. It's a day-long thing. We only do a couple of exercises, and there's lots of opportunities for people to work in small groups and also get time with me, right? But it's a kind of floating head type role. But online, because of the nature of online teaching, where it's, you know, in order to allow people to have the space and, you know, we don't want to talk over each other and all of that jazz, there is this kind of like one-to-one component that happens during an online group. So for me, I know that once we get past about 12 or 15 people in one Zoom class, I start to get a bit spacey, like I can't kind of keep track of everybody. So that I just, and that's just come through experimentation. So I think play with that for yourself. What feels comfortable, right? Like and it's you, Sal, right? So you've been on stage. You kind of know how to hold a room. So actually in a room situation, in person, in a one-day workshop or something like that, and you may want to do that kind of thing as part of a group, right, that you offer an in-person component to kick things off or to check in on a, you know, quarterly basis or whatever, that might feel super comfortable for you. But then as you're working with people on specific exercises, it's a smaller group.
That's helpful. Thank you.
I think just don't limit yourself to what's possible, right? What I have found is that when it's a massive group and it's self-paced learning, no one finishes the course.
Yeah.
That only works for the person creating the content.
Yeah.
Because that's not how adults learn. We need a space to share and, you know, ask questions and figure shit out with each other and kind of go, oh, did you have that experience? What was that like for you, you know? And to share our own expertise and our ways of learning, all of that needs space. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
So you get to play. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anyone else have any questions at all for today? So next week we're going to talk about certification, that process, and we'll also talk a little bit about Coach Match and how to get into the Coach Match world. I'm also super excited because I'm going to be able to share the new learning platform that we've been building over the last couple of months, which is just so beautiful. It makes me cry. And you'll get to see all of the new material and all of that jazz over the next few weeks. So good things are coming. And then the week after next, we'll have our closing circle, which is really just to acknowledge that we've reached this point in the process. We're not very good in our culture at endings, so I like to kind of make it awkward and let us do that. So I will be sending out this Thursday with the recordings from today. I'll be sending out a couple of things for you, and one of them is some preparation to do for the closing circle, just because everyone will get to speak at that, and it's just easier if you kind of know generally what to say. I'm not giving you a script, obviously, but just a way for you to participate without us being here for 5 hours. So I'll be sending some stuff out on Thursday. That's us for our main curriculum, and we'll be diving into making sense of this a little more in the coming months. Okay. Thank you all so much for your presence today and your brilliant questions and shares. It was magic. Okay, everyone. I'll see you all next week. Yeah. Okay. Take care. Bye, everybody.